Well, what a privilege to be able to support missionaries with prayer and in other means as well. We have been praying. And the Self name has been mentioned. There's a couple of Self families that we have on our list that we pray for regularly, but we are grateful to have Andrew and his family here, and I'm going to get out of the way so that they can start their ministry with us this morning. Andrew, thank you for coming. It's a great privilege for us, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for you. Please introduce your family to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. I have lots of memories of this church as a kid. You guys have supported my parents now for 44, 45 years, and I remember coming here on deputation, on furlough as well. Well, I wasn't here on deputation. I wasn't born yet, but on furlough, I was here years ago on my parents' furlough, and then in 2006, Romina and I were getting ready to go back to Argentina as missionaries, and we were there on deputation, and we came here alone. Today, I have our whole family with us, although one is leaving right now, but the one that's running out to Children's Church is Megan. Go ahead, Megan, go. And then my wife Romina is here, and our daughter Emily. Emily's been here before, Megan has not, but we're so thankful to be here with you. I do want to say, before I open up the word, thank you very much for your support throughout all these years, both in prayer, which Pastor assured me that you pray, and I know you pray because many of you write to me by email, say, hey, we're praying for you, but we thank you so much for that. There's no way to know how much value that has to us, but we hold it dear in our heart that you pray for us and that you are interested in the ministry there, are interested in our lives, and we thank you as well for the financial support that you've given throughout the years. That is what keeps us there in Argentina, right? And so we're so grateful to be here with you this morning. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I don't know if there is a clicker. I never got a clicker. Or if somebody can click through the presentation. Either one is working. Is there a clicker? No clicker? Okay. Oh, is that work? Try to. Sorry. It doesn't matter. If not, I need somebody to click through it. So, okay. Either one is fine. But open, while we're waiting, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21 this morning. And you can see on the presentation, the title of the message is Ambassadors for Christ. And does it work? Okay. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're going to go with you and Mark. Okay. So this passage talks about ambassadors for Christ. One of the questions that I get asked about everywhere I go is, what does a missionary do? What does a missionary do? And there are several answers to that. There have been times where I've had to paint the different areas of the church. I don't consider myself a painter. And if you came to our church, you wouldn't consider myself a painter either, because it's horrible, the area I painted. But at times as a missionary, you don't have other people that can do it, so you go and you paint the church. There's times where you're a maintenance man or a handyman. Now, if you know anything, if you know me at all, you know that I'm not a handyman. Matter of fact, I go and I make things worse, right? They tell me, okay, there's this that needs to be fixed, and I grab whatever tools I have, which aren't many, and I try to fix it. And then I call my father-in-law, who's very good with his tools, and I say, I totally messed this up. You need to come fix it. And so he's like, I'll be over in a minute. But even though I mess it up, I consider myself a handyman, because at times as a missionary, that's what you have to do. There are times as a missionary that you're a janitor. There's times as a missionary where you're a money exchanger. And you actually get really good at exchanging money, and I don't have time to go into all the stories, but there are times where it's very dangerous to exchange money. Now, you would think with the technology today that we can get all our salary gets sent into our bank account here in the U.S., and you would think it would be just one press of a button and it would get transferred into the bank in Argentina. That's not how it works. You can do that, but then you'll get taxed on it, not only in the U.S., but you'll get taxed on it in Argentina as well, so we have to do other things to get it in there. And so what you do is you go, you write a check, and then you walk out with all the cash to go home. Now, A dollar is worth 1,000 pesos in Argentina, okay? 1,000 pesos. The largest bill we have in Argentina is 1,000 pesos, okay? So if you're changing $2,000, you're going to go out of there with 2 million pesos, and the largest bill is 1,000. So I don't know how many bills that is, but you have bills that you put over all your clothes and everywhere and your jacket and everything, and it works fine when it's winter. When it's summer, it looks a little weird that you're coming out with a big jacket out of the bank, right? But sometimes it's very dangerous. Sometimes you exchange money and you run for your car and you pray, Lord, keep me safe as I'm driving away. And there are stories, but you get very good at it. At times we had to buy buildings, right? The church building and different properties. And you're talking there about $250,000 to $300,000. And though I don't have time to go into all those things, we thank the Lord that he has kept us safe in all those transactions. But you get very good at exchanging money. And you find the best and the safest ways to do it as a missionary. At times, I consider myself my own secretary because I set my time schedule and I try to have time where I'm spending the Word of God. But I don't have a secretary to help me out, to keep people out of so that I can study, right? So I'm my own secretary. At times, as a missionary, you're a seminary professor. And we do a lot of that down in Argentina, especially with my parents. And my brother Mark as well, we teach in a seminary for all our churches where we're training pastors, but you're a seminary professor. At times, you're a counselor. At times, you're a church planner. There are times where you're the pastor down there. Now, it's very interesting that you guys know me as missionary Andrew Self, right? Or missionary kid, because some of you know me from when I was a little kid. But missionary. In Argentina, they don't consider me a missionary. They consider me their pastor. And so I'm known as a pastor down there. At times, as a missionary, you are a protector. Now, my family doesn't like this joke, but I believe it's very important to share. In Argentina, I usually, if there's a bug or some animals, some dangerous animals, I step up and protect my family from all the evils that are there. Now, you need to know this. Buenos Aires is a city, 15 million people almost, and the biggest bugs we have are spider about that size. So I protect my family from those spiders, right? That's what a missionary does. It's not like going to Brazil where you have snakes and all kinds of other things. But it was funny. A couple weeks back, we were in the Pocono Mountains, and we decided to go hiking. It was a nice day. There were all those rainy days, and then there was one nice day, and we went hiking in the Pocono Mountains. And I thought it was great. We're going to go hiking in the mountains till I saw a big sign where we parked the car that said, when it's warm days in April and May, be careful for the rattlesnakes because they like to come out, okay? Well, I was thinking, this is early May. It's a warm day. I don't want to go hiking anymore. So I started looking around, and I looked at who was hiking with us, and I said, I just have to be faster than that person, right, when I hear the rattlesnake. But I wasn't going to be, we were going to be running, that's for sure. I'm not a protector for those things. But as a missionary, you do several things. You do lots of things. And actually, one person asked me, what is it that you don't do? And I really didn't answer. You do lots of things. But there's one word that sums it up. And the word is found in the Bible. And the word is ambassador. A missionary is an ambassador for the Lord. But being an ambassador doesn't just stop with missionaries and pastors. An ambassador is something that we all are if you know the Lord as your personal Savior. And we're going to get to that in a minute. What is an ambassador? An ambassador represents someone, usually a ruler, a king, or a president. He's somebody that has an official position, but not to share what he believes or what he thinks. He's got an official position to share what the person in authority over him wants him to share. Now, Paul here, in biblical days, is very different than it is today. Today, if you are an ambassador, you can basically get online, right? There's a secure online connection. You can call, you can Zoom, you can have face-to-face conversations, even though you might be thousands of miles away. Well, in biblical days, it was very different. When you were an ambassador, you really needed to know what the person in authority over you wanted to communicate, because when you went to a different place, as an ambassador, as a role to share what he knew, what he wanted to do, you had to know it. Because for years, you weren't going to see him, right? You would get on a ship, most likely, and you would travel to that unknown place, and you would say, this is what the king or ruler above me wants to communicate to you guys. And sometimes it'd be years before he saw him. Well, Paul's saying here that we as believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. We get to represent Christ. And let's look at the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There are three things that we want to look at today. The first one is, how do we become an ambassador? And if you look with me in verse 18, there's a word that actually gets repeated several times in this passage, but it says in verse 18, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now, the word reconciliation or reconciled, we understand that word, right? Now, you never use the word reconciliation when there's no problem, right? If you have your family and everything's working great and there's no fights and there's no problems, then you don't have to talk about reconciliation, right? Usually when we talk about reconciliation, we understand right away that there's a major problem in the relationship, right? It could be a boss and the worker. It could be a family. In this case, there's a problem with God. God is perfect. God is holy. And God, it being holy, you have him in that position of being holy, and you have man, who's a sinner. You can click to the next one. Actually, the Bible talks about man being an enemy of God. We were born sinners. And the first opportunity we get to sin, what do? We sin. Now, it's interesting that in Argentina, a lot of people, when I share the gospel with them, they're like, "So I'm a sinner because I was born because Adam sinned?" And I'm like, "Yes, you are. You're a sinner because Adam sinned and you were born in sin." And they're like, "Well, that's not fair." And then I tell him, "Well, the Bible also says that the first opportunity you got to sin, you sinned." He's like, "Well, I don't know if that's true." I'm like, "Okay, did you ever tell a lie? "Yes." "Okay, there you go. You're a sinner because you're a sinner, right?" And the problem is, man is born a sinner, and the opportunities he gets, he sins and sins and sins and sins. God tells us to do one thing, we usually do another. God tells us to live in a certain way, we usually live however we want to live. God tells us to serve him and obey him and live for him, and we usually serve and obey our desires and our life. Why? Because we are born sinners. And the Bible says that being sinners, born as sinners, we are enemies of God. You can go to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 10. It says that we are all enemies of God. In Romans 5, 8, it says, "While we were yet sinners," or his enemies, "Christ died for us." So we needed a reconciliation. Why? Because I'm an enemy of God, and God is perfect, holy. And we can't just say, God can't just say, "Okay, forget the sin, we're just going to have a relationship here." No. There's a reconciliation that needs to take place. Something needs to happen so that I can have access to God and receive God's blessing, which I don't deserve. And Paul says here in verse 18, he says, "Who hath reconciled us." How did he do it? It says, "To himself by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross, and he took upon his shoulders, or upon him, your sin and my sin. That sin that keeps me away from God. Somebody needed to pay for that. And Christ carried all my sin upon him and died and was buried and rose again the third day. And through faith, I can be reconciled. I can be forgiven. I can now have access to God. So how do you become an ambassador for Christ or for God? It's through Christ. Now in Argentina, you can go to the next one, but in Argentina, one of the things that they all learn and really believe throughout most of the country is that they can be good people, and that makes them friends with God. Being a good person, that's the most important thing and the only thing that's going to give you access to God. And so they set out on their life trying to be good people. The problem is you can be good all day. They were born sinners, and they continue to sin. And so it's very hard to teach them, or it's very hard for them to understand that being good is not going to be enough to pay for their sins. You can go, that's fine. That picture's good. This is the Busto family. The Bustos, they grew up as Catholics. They went to Catholic church. Usually they went to services at Easter and Christmas, and they did that their whole life. And one day, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, Emma Bustos and Anele, Emma decided he's going to go to church. He said, "I'm going to church." And so he came to our service, and after the service we spoke, he's like, "Yeah, I really enjoyed it, very nice." I didn't think we'd ever see him again, because usually they come for twice a year, right? So this was their little visit. He came the next Sunday with the whole family, and they came the next Sunday, and they came the next Sunday. So finally I sat down with him, and I said, "Now, do you understand the gospel? Do you understand what the Lord did for you?" He's like, "Well, I understand that I need to be a good person. That's what I need to do, and that's what I'm trying to do, and coming to church has helped me." Obviously, I shared what the Bible says, and I said, "No, you need somebody. You need really Christ, who has died for your sins. You need to believe that he did that so that you can be forgiven." And I went through the gospel message. And Emma didn't understand that. But he continued to come, and he continued to come every week to our church. And finally, after about 2 or 3 months, he came up to me, and he said, "You know that conversation we had?" And I said, "Yes." He's like, "I finally understood it. I can't get to heaven on my own good works because I'm a sinner. I can only get to heaven if I believe in Christ as my personal Savior." And I did that. And so we were so thankful. He's like, after months of preaching and listening to the word, I finally understood the gospel message, and he believed. A couple months later, we're still working with Anele. And Anele, she's very Catholic, thought that she could make it on her own. And for months, she said, we asked her, "If you die today, would you go to heaven?" And she's like, "I don't know. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to live the way God wants me to live. But I don't know if I'm going to do that. I don't know if I'll go to heaven." And so we talked with her several times, and we shared the gospel with her, and she still didn't understand, and we were praying for her. And about 3 weeks after that last conversation we had with her, there was something different about her. We didn't know what it was at that time, and so we started talking to her again, and we said, "Now, what would happen if you died today? Where would you go?" And she said, "I'm going to heaven." And we said, "Really? Why do you believe that? Why do you think that?" She said, "Because I placed my trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and my sins have been forgiven." And so what happened in their life? They were reconciled to God through Christ. God did that work in their life. Christ paid for their sins. And they lived their whole life trying to be good people. And at one point they said, "I can't do it on my own. I can't pay for my sins on my own. I need to be reconciled." And so that's how you become an ambassador. The first thing, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior, you need to believe. You need to believe that Christ took your sin on the cross and he paid for those sins so that you can be saved, so that you can be reconciled to God. The second thing that we want to talk about is the mission of the ambassador. Now, this always doesn't cease to amaze me, that the Lord saves us, and the next thing he does, you don't enlist, you don't go sign up on a sheet to say, "Okay, now I'm ready to do this." The next thing you do after you know the Lord as your personal Savior is you have a mission. Look at verse 18, at the end of verse 18 and in the middle of verse 19. But it says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And then in verse 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now the us, Paul's talking about him and the leadership, but it applies to every believer that knows the Lord as their personal Savior. You are reconciled to Christ, and immediately you now participate in sharing what Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. You get to share the gospel with a world that doesn't know the Lord. You know, we look at our world, and our world, just turn on the TV and you'll know that it's a sinful world. And every, you know, and I'm growing up, I'm getting older, and as I get older, I remember, oh, well, it wasn't this bad when I was younger, right? It's getting worse. Why? Because we're in a sinful world. It's full of sin. But what they need is somebody to go with the gospel. That's the only thing that can free you of your sin. Share the gospel with them. Give them hope so that they can be saved and they can also participate in the ministry of reconciliation. And Paul isn't saying, now get with it. He's saying, this is a privilege. Not only did the Lord save you, which is wonderful, the Lord gave you and I the opportunity to share the gospel with others. Did you ever think about this? God does not need you to share the gospel. He doesn't need you. He gives you the opportunity, the privilege of being a part of the ministry of reconciliation. I'm sure that this area, just like everywhere in the world, is similar to Argentina. You know what they do in Argentina when I talk to them about sharing the gospel? They say to me, well, Pastor, you know so much more than I do about the Word of God, right? You know so much more that why don't we just let you do it, right? Or they'll say, well, maybe we can get a missionary that can go out or an evangelist that can go out and do this because I don't really know the Word of God that much. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying everybody has this ministry of reconciliation. Now, in Argentina, if you know one thing about Argentina, we like soccer, right? Soccer is the number one sport there. And if you know anything about soccer, we have, at this time, the best player probably of all times, Leo Messi, okay? And if you don't know Leo Messi, then you haven't even turned on the American news because he's playing now in Miami. But he's very well known, I don't know if in the U.S., but in the rest of the world, he's well known. Now, what's interesting about Messi is he's incredible. If you've ever watched soccer, he's incredible because you give him the ball and you just expect him to score every time he has the ball. And you know what? Most of the time he does score. It's incredible that he'll go through three or four defenders and score. But what was happening is in Argentina, for about 33 years, we never won a tournament. There were lots of tournaments that they played, but they never won because the majority of the times we played, we would have good players and we would say, here's the ball. And they would give him the ball and then they'd say, now score. And they'd watch him. They'd just look at Leo Messi. And as good as he was, he could score a couple goals, but he couldn't make the Argentina national team win because he wasn't good enough to do it on his own. And so a couple of years back, about 3 years now, Argentina got a new coach, and the coach came in with a different idea, and he said, we're going to set up a team that gels together, that plays well together, and Messi's going to be the best player on it, but we're going to play as a team. And 2 years ago, we had an American Cup, it's called, which is the South American Cup. And Argentina won after 33 years of not winning that cup. They won. And then they had a game in Europe that was a very important game, and they went out and won that thing. And then in 2022, we had the World Cup. And we've had great opportunities, and we've been the favorite to win in Argentina. And this time, they won the World Cup for the first time in 38 years that they won the World Cup. And you say, well, why did they do that? Well, you don't know much about soccer, but you say, why did they do that? And it's not because Messi wasn't the greatest player, because he still is. But what happened is they played as a team because they needed each other. You know, that's a silly illustration compared to what Paul's telling us here. But sometimes we say sharing the gospel is for so-and-so. Sharing the gospel is for the missionary, and we are. We are sharing the gospel in Argentina. But you know what? I can't reach people here in upstate New York. I mean, I can come in on a Sunday. I can be here while I'm traveling and maybe have an opportunity to share the gospel. But I can't reach other people that are here. And if you say, well, pastor's going to do it, your pastor can't reach all the people that you come in contact with. And God is saying, we have an opportunity, we have a privilege to share the gospel. And we can't rely on certain people. It's every single person that knows the Lord as their personal Savior. You've been reconciled, and now you get to share what the Lord has done in your life. With who? Co-workers, family relatives, neighbors. Any person that you come in contact with is an opportunity to share what God has done in your life. Let me show you some pictures. Yeah. For us, and we're in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We're the first suburb north of the city of Buenos Aires, 85,000 people in this community. And now we will be at this church for 10 years in October. But the Lord gave us a building in this community. He provided the funds for the building. And it's very important because sometimes missionaries rent because they can't buy the building. And what happens is the economy changes so much that sometimes it's $10 a month and sometimes it's $3,000 a month. And that actually just happened in Argentina. There were churches that have been renting, and they were renting for $100 a month in a great location. And in December, we changed presidents. The whole economy changed. And now that place that was $100 or $300 is now $3,000 to $5,000 a month. And what they're looking at is closing the church and going to another community that they can afford. We're so grateful that the Lord has given us this building where we can reach the people in this community because we're trying to reconcile them, share the gospel with them so that they can be reconciled to Christ. Now, it's very interesting in this community. Most of Argentina is Catholic because their parents were Catholic. But in this community, you have a lot of practicing Catholics. A lot of the people, a lot of our church neighbors will actually go to Catholic church every Sunday, and they go to Mass every Sunday, which we always find interesting, and it's very different than the rest of Buenos Aires. And we had a neighbor lady one Sunday. We were all at church, and we were about ready to get the service started, and the door was open, and she walked by, and she's like, "What is a Baptist church doing in this community? Don't they know that we're all Catholic here?" And she walked off, and we all looked at each other. We kind of smiled and said, "Yeah, we know. That's why we're here, to share the gospel." And but the Lord has given us a building. And the building is not, I mean, the building is just a building, but he's given us a place where we can go. He's given us a place where we can, from there, take the gospel to this community. You can show the next picture. He's given us a congregation. These are some of the people there that we've been working with. You have Victor and Maylin and our daughter Emily, but we've been working with them. I don't have time to go into all the stories, but they have been reconciled to God through Christ, and they are serving the Lord, and they're growing and preparing to share the gospel with the world that needs the Lord. You can go to the next one. Here are some more of our congregation. That's Federico and his mom. Federico is the deacon at our church, and then on the other picture is Mercedes and Nadia, who is married to Federico. But the Lord has given us opportunities to train people, to prepare people, to get them ready to be sent out from the church there. You can go to the next one. That's just a picture of some of our congregation on Sundays. We have about 30 people in this community, in our church, 30 people. And I encourage them weekly to go out, to share the gospel, to be proactive in sharing the gospel and reaching the community that the Lord has given us with the gospel. Now, one of the things that I find interesting in verse 19, it says that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have the opportunity to share the gospel with a world that doesn't know the Lord. But more importantly than that, just as important, Paul uses a word that's very interesting here. He says in verse 20, God did beseech you by us. What he's saying is God is using you really to beg, to beseech, to tell the other people, listen to the gospel message. God is using you to convince, to persuade them with the gospel. Now, he's not using Paul. He's not using missionaries and pastors only. He's using you to share the gospel with the world that doesn't know the Lord. The last thing we want to look at is the message of the ambassador, and I need to get a little faster here. Verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God and him." What is it that we proclaim as ambassadors? The gospel. But what is it? Paul sums it up here in verse 21. He said, "For he," Christ, "hath made," or "God hath made Christ to be sin for us." What did Christ do? Christ is perfect, never sinned, a lamb without spot or blemish. And he went to the cross, And God grabbed all the sins of the world, every sin that you and I have committed, and he placed them on Christ's shoulder, and the wrath of God for every one of those sins was placed upon Christ, who didn't deserve it, who never sinned. But he took the wrath of God for you and for me. And at the end of the verse says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took the wrath of God upon him so that God can treat you and I as righteous. Now, Christ was righteous, no sin. And yet he took the wrath of God for my sin so that I can be clean, reconciled, forgiven before the Lord. That's a wonderful verse to think about and to be a part not only of receive Christ as my personal Savior and what he did for us, but to have an opportunity to share what Christ has done for those that are lost. It's an incredible privilege that we have as missionaries, but that you have as well in the community that you're at. Let me share with you very quickly what we're doing in Argentina. Some of the pictures here so that you can pray for us. If you read our prayer letters, then you'll recognize these activities, but maybe you haven't seen some of the pictures. These are our knitting classes. Knitting classes we have once a week, and Rosita is one of the teachers. She comes to our church, and she is very good at knitting, and so what we've done is we just invite anybody that wants to come from the community. We get that out there so that they know about it, and we invite them into our building. One thing that's very important is that they will never walk into our church because it's a Baptist church, right? Because they think we're weird. So we invite them to our church so that they can make sure that we're weird and confirm that we're actually weird. But it doesn't matter if we're weird or not. We want to share the gospel with them. And so we invite them to the knitting class. We don't share the gospel every week, but we develop relationships with ladies, especially ladies, from the community. Neighbors that would never come to our church service, but they're willing to come to a knitting class. And so we've had lots of ladies that have come through where we've been able to share the gospel with them and interact with them and get to know them and get to know their families and have open doors for the gospel there in Florida or Vicente López. You can go to the next picture. We also have conversational English class. Now, it's very similar. Here in the States, I found that a lot of people understand Spanish. They study Spanish. They can read Spanish, but they cannot communicate in Spanish, right? Usually the hardest thing is speaking. Well, in Argentina, it's the same, but in English. They understand English, they studied English, but they are not very good at speaking. And a lot of the people in this community like to travel, and they say that the best language to travel usually is English because you can use it anywhere you go in the world. And so they want to learn or they want to practice their speaking. And so we have conversational English classes once a week for about an hour. And we just sit there and we chat. We usually throw out a subject, and then we just talk. We have about 12 students every week, and we just interact with them in English. Now, we've had great opportunities to share the gospel with them. There was one lady years ago that came to our class, and she said, "Now, you're the pastor here." And I'm like, "Yes, I'm the pastor." "Well, what is it you believe? Like, what is a Baptist church? And what do you believe?" And so I went for 10 minutes in English sharing the gospel with the whole class, and it was great. And then one lady that had just come, she's like, "You know, I didn't really understand that. I'm not very good and fluent in English. Could you repeat that, but in Spanish?" And I said, "Yep, I can do that." So for 10 minutes in Spanish, some people heard the gospel twice that day. But we've had great opportunity to interact, once again, with people that would never come into our building because it's a Baptist church, but they would come in for the conversational English. And they actually, they're like, "When are you guys getting back? Because we want to start up the classes again." But it's a great opportunity to develop relationships with people in the neighborhood and share the gospel with them. You can go to the next picture. We have the ladies' coffee. The ladies' coffee, we usually do it twice a year. And we just have a day where we invite all the ladies from the community and also the church ladies. It's a time of preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, and also sharing the gospel. And we had about 17 ladies in the last one we did, which was in April, and 8 of them were unsaved. And so pray for those opportunities. We invite the ladies from the knitting class, from the English class, and from the neighbor, any contacts we have, so that they might come and hear the gospel. You can go to the next one. We have a ping pong tournament, and this one's a real hit. We're not very good at ping pong, just so you know. We can't play ping pong at all, but we invite people from the community, And one of the things that, if you know anything about Argentina, is we like to eat beef, right? Steak. And it's very good, and it's cheap. And so that's one of the highlights there. And so what we do for the tournament is the prize is a cookout for 10 people. That's what the winner wins. And I always tell them, is like, you're only allowed to invite you and 8 other people because you have to invite the pastor. They never invite me at the end of the day, but it's a great opportunity. It's about 4 hours long on a Saturday afternoon, and you're just sitting around waiting for your turn to play. So you get opportunities to sit with people and just chat with them, get to know them. And then we stop everything in the middle, and we share the gospel. And it's had a great opportunities to share the gospel, and we do that once or twice a year, depending on what we're doing in the church activities. But pray for our ping pong tournament and the opportunities of sharing the gospel there. You can go to the next one. Oops, sorry. We have our Christmas musical. One of the things that's interesting about our churches is we work with 6 churches. My brother's in one church, my dad is in another one, and then you have other national pastors, and we work together. But one of the things that we do is we build a choir, or we get a choir from the different churches, different participants from each church. And then at Christmas time, they'll go and share the musical in 7 different churches. And so we use that as an opportunity because Catholics will go to church at Christmas and Easter. And so we have a Christmas musical, and we use that to invite them and say, this is the time you got to come. You're invited. And so we sing and praise the Lord that night, and then we share the gospel with them as well. So these are great opportunities to share what the Lord has done. You can go to the next one. This is my roller hockey team. I continue to play hockey. I'm now on 3 different teams. And I used to play when I was a kid. I started playing when I was 15 years old. And I love it. I enjoy it a lot, and I need it for exercise. But it's given me great opportunities to share the gospel in my life. Really, the best opportunities I've ever had to share the gospel with an unsaved person have come from playing on these teams. I'll just very quickly share. The locker room for those places is the worst place I've ever been in. And sometimes it's every time it doesn't honor the Lord at all what they're talking about. They're unsaved. And I'm not in there participating with them. But I get in there, I say, Lord, keep me safe, keep me pure, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. And I've gone in there, and I've been in there for years now playing with these men. And I don't share the gospel with them every week, but I demonstrate to them a testimony of what the Lord has done in my life. And every time I get an opportunity, I share the gospel. Let me share with you one. During COVID, the whole country shut down. We shut down for about 1.5 years. November of 2020, for some reason, I don't know why, the government allowed us to play a 3-week hockey tournament. I guess in November, the COVID just died down for 3 weeks, and they said we can play. And so we said, okay. Some of the guys didn't want to play, but the ones that wanted to play, we went to the tournament. And after the game, one of the guys on my team said, now, Andrew, I know you're a pastor and you share the Bible, but I would like to know what you guys believe of the Bible. We're going to have a cookout on Tuesday, and I want you to share for 5 minutes something about the Bible, whatever you want. And I said, oh, that's great. And I'll plan for that. And so I went home and I prayed about it, and I was like, okay, on Tuesday I'm going to get 5 minutes. And, you know, I was trying to sum it down the easiest and clearest way I could. Well, we went to the cookout. Now, a cookout there is very important to understand that it goes from 7 or 8 o'clock at night till 1 in the morning, okay? It's going to be a 4 or 5 hour cookout, and so I'm going to get 5 minutes, so I'm preparing and praying. Guess who didn't show up? The guy that said I would get 5 minutes. Everybody else showed up, but he didn't show up. So I was like, oh, I was a little bummed. I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I should have, you know, I wish that the whole team would have said okay. But one of the guys said to me, didn't so-and-so say that you could share about the Bible for 5 minutes? And I said, yeah, he did. He's like, okay, go ahead. So I was like, okay, here we go. I shared the gospel with them for 2 hours that evening. Just went over the gospel several times. Went over them thinking that they were going to go to heaven because they're good and how that isn't in the Bible. They asked all kinds of questions. Usually they ask, you know, they don't know much, but the little they know, people don't know how to answer them. And I would just open my Bible and say, here, look at what it says. And for 2 hours, was able to share the gospel with them. That next Saturday, we had a tournament, the second game of the tournament, and I went to the game, and the goalie, who was making fun of me, he's not saved, but he was making fun of me, he said, Andrew, I'm going to heaven. And I said, why do you think that? He's like, because I'm a good person. That's what he said. Now, he knew that wasn't true because I had just gone over that, but he said that to me, you know, kind of making fun of me. And one guy named Nico, he's behind me, and he starts yelling at him, you can't do that. You can't do that. There's no way. Andrew just spent 2 hours telling us how the only way that you can be saved and go to heaven is if you believe in Jesus Christ, who took your sin as a substitute, and if you believe in him that he died and he rose again, then you can be saved. And I look back like in shock, because I, you know, you share the gospel and you don't know if they understood it or whatever, and I look back at them and I'm like, yes, that's right. And then I turned to Nico, as his name, and I said, Nico, you understand the gospel. Why aren't you believing in it? And he's like, you know, I just finally understood, and I'm taking baby steps. That's what he said to me. Now, he doesn't know the Lord yet. I believe he's under conviction. I've had opportunities to share the gospel with him again and interact with him. But pray for him. Pray for all those men that we interact with. My brother's also on one of the teams, and we interact with them to share the gospel so that they might be reconciled to God. And you can go to the last slide. I'm not asking you to come to Argentina to be an ambassador. God's not asking you to come to Argentina. You can if you want to. You're more than welcome. But will you be an ambassador here in your community, in your neighborhood? And I should ask this. It's not will you be, is the Lord wants you to be. And he gives you the privilege and the opportunity to be an ambassador. So what you need to do is look out for those opportunities where there's an open door so that you can share what Christ has done in your life and what he can do in the lives of the people that don't know him, who today are enemies, because they need the Lord. Will you be an ambassador for Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful Bible passage. We thank you, Lord, that you reconciled us. We deserve your wrath. We are enemies. We were born enemies, sinners, and yet you saved us through Christ, who carried our sin, who died for our sin, so that we can be reconciled, so that we can have a relationship with you. And Lord, we're so thankful for that gospel message. And Lord, I pray that we will not just be Christians that say, oh, I'm reconciled and that's it. That we will take and look for opportunities to share the gospel with others. That we will understand that it's a privilege that we get to serve the Lord in that way. And that we will pray for open doors and look for open doors. And that we will be bold in sharing the gospel with a world that needs the Lord. Lord, help us be ambassadors for you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing here, and we thank you for what you're doing in Argentina, and we pray that you will continue to give us doors that are open for the gospel. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.